Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop on Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Have you ever, who hasn't, seen a child throw a tantrum? Maybe some of your parents out there want to call in, got someone, maybe a three-year-old, who just isn't getting his or her way and is really, really, really upset about it. You know, he just won't give up. He really, really wants that thing that you know he can't have. Heck, it could be touching a hot stove. Sorry, son, you can't do that. You know, sorry to your daughter. No, you can't jump off the swing set. It's not safe. But she or he really, really, really wants to. And they cry and it's not working. So, full-blown tantrum, screams, yells, crying, hitting the ground, lashing out, red in the face. And you're a parent, or even worse, you're a bystander on a plane. You ever been there? And you want to help. There's nothing you can do. I've tried when I've seen little children to do this. I try sometimes to distract them. Sometimes it works, you know, make a funny face or make a funny sound or do something to just startle them. It sometimes works. I've seen it work. I don't want to do too much if their parents are around, but a lot of times it doesn't work. The kid is obsessed. He or she, they're going to throw a tantrum. And when it's a full-blown tantrum, you just got to wait, right? That's what you do, right? You wait until it plays itself out. The kid has screamed and yelled and cried so much that they're choking up. They can't cry anymore. They can't scream anymore. They can't hit the ground anymore. And they're just, they tire themselves out, kind of fall asleep. And by the next morning, most of the time, unless you bring it up with them, which isn't smart, the kid doesn't even remember what the tantrum was about. I want you to think back, maybe, and I can remember being a very, very young child, age 3 or 4. Do you remember your tantrums? Because this isn't, we're not going to talk about everybody else. How about yourself? Do you remember your own tantrums? I got to be honest with you. I can't remember what my tantrums were about. I don't think I had them that often. At least I hope not. I have to ask my parents. But I do certainly recall a time. God knows what I wanted, which is interesting, the fact that I don't remember what I wanted. But I wanted something. I wanted it really badly. I wasn't getting it. And I cried and I screamed and I threw a full tantrum and I still didn't get what I want. And I remember my parents saying to me, oh, such good diplomatic parents, I think Mark's just tired. Oh, that made me even more angry. I'm not tired. I want something or other. I mean, to call me tired, I think in my 4-year-old brain, that's an insult, right? That means that the thing I really care about isn't serious. You're not taking my complaint seriously. I'm not tired. I want my... I don't remember. But the fact that I don't remember also tells you something. It tells you that whatever I wanted really wasn't that important. What was important was the emotion, the feeling. When you're throwing a tantrum, why are you doing it? You're doing it because you want attention, you want someone to care about you, and because you feel helpless. You're insecure. You're not getting what you want. And it doesn't matter whether it's logical or not. Why am I telling you this story? Well, several reasons, actually. One, the obvious, the fact that Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, who is retiring from the Senate at the end of 2018, said that Donald Trump was in constant need of adult daycare supervision. I think the exact quote is, the White House is an adult daycare center, and a few people may have been off that day. He goes on to talk about some serious things, like the fact that Donald Trump might start World War III. But what's interesting is that the Washington Post has a front page article where virtually everyone who knows Donald Trump well describes him like an ill-behaved child, like a child throwing a tantrum. And I really don't mean to be insulting to toddlers or to children, because many of them are well-behaved, and even the ones who throw tantrums. I was actually a pretty good kid. You know, even the ones who throw tantrums don't throw them day in, day out. It might be a once in a week or month or year thing, hopefully, for you parents out there. But we have a 70-year-old man throwing a tantrum every single day. And it's really interesting psychologically in his case, right? Because why would he feel out of control or insecure? I mean, that's the reason people throw tantrums. Well, he's not getting what he wants. Okay. But is it logical? Does it matter? And you have, of course, a ton of people in the White House trying to appease the president's tantrum. But on a week when his own Secretary of State calls him an effing moron, which, you know, in the scheme of things is frankly obvious and far less than words I would choose, you have to ask yourself, do we have a tantrum in the White House? Because all of America is throwing a tantrum. I don't mean to let Donald Trump off the hook, but it seems to me that Trump is not the cause of our dismay. I don't think he is. I think he's the result of our dismay. Trump exists because most of America, or too much of America, has been throwing a tantrum for too long. I mean, that's how authoritarians start. And it doesn't matter whether it's a serious offense. Right? The Germans had every reason to feel insulted by the Treaty of Versailles, which ended World War I, by the hyperinflation and the terrible depression that hit Germany in the 1930s. They had every reason to be upset about real problems, arguably some real injustices, although, you know, World War I was kind of everybody's fault and no one's fault. But certainly the Treaty of Versailles was punitive, it was horrible, and the German people threw a tantrum that ultimately harmed them and, of course, the rest of the world, far worse than even their original problems. When I think about tantrum, I don't just think about the right. I'm going to talk about the right, of course. I'm going to talk about the angry white male throwing a tantrum. But I'm also thinking about some on the left as well. I want to think about what is productive, what causes change. Because anger, note, I'm not talking about anger. Anger can be right and justified and can lead to protest and can lead to political change. Justified anger, which has a cause as a result, like the fact that I'm angry about the mass murder of innocent people in Las Vegas, and I have a specific plan, namely I have legislation in the Virginia House of Delegates to ban bump stocks. Things, these little devices that help convert a semi-automatic weapon, which is already a weapon of war, into a better weapon of war, a more, better's a crazy word, a more deadly weapon of war, an automatic weapon, a machine gun. And when I read these stories, I get really angry, but I want to funnel my anger into positive change that actually saves lives. Nothing wrong with self-righteous anger. But there can be wrong with self-righteousness, and there can be wrong with anger if it's not logically justified. I want you to think about the Trumpist, the person who not only voted for Donald Trump, because many of them were the Bob Corkers of the world who used to endorse Donald Trump, right? They were conservative Republicans, people who care about making sure the wealthy get as much money as possible, people who want to help corporations pollute because they make money from polluting corporations. You know, the establishment Republicans, the ones that, frankly, Steve Bannon is now declaring war against in a very, very interesting Republican civil war. But I want you to think about the person who is still a Trumpist today. Not the 46% that voted for him, some of whom were tricked by the Russians into believing all kinds of nonsense about Hillary Clinton. I want you to think about the irreducible 32%. The one-third of Americans who still love Donald Trump. And even though they don't trust him, polls show, even though they don't believe him, polls show, even though they know he's lying to them, polls show, even though they know he's not delivering on his promises to them, and that's why, in fact, he's gone down in the ratings from 46% to 32%. I mean, he's not giving them what they asked for, whether it's coal jobs, manufacturing jobs, heck, whether it's the Great Wall of Mexico or end of Obamacare or any of those other promises. They still can rely on the anger, on the tantrum, on the hate. Because Donald Trump can't give benefits to working class people. He doesn't want to. It would take away from his class. It would cause, you know, if he wants to cut rich people's taxes, he's got to raise middle class people's taxes. The money has to come from somewhere, and he's not going to be a traitor to his class. So middle class people, working class people, people who have suffered, people who have suffered job loss. We have lost industry and manufacturing in this country, no question about it. Giving them jobs is not easy. Giving someone broadband internet infrastructure, something else that I support, frankly, another bill of mine in the Virginia House of Delegates, that takes work, that takes effort, that takes money, that takes cost. Retraining people, better schools, vocational education, all these boring, boring Latin-sounding four-syllable words, vocational, that's not exciting. That's not interesting. That's practical and useful and boring. Let's talk Trump language. Make America great again. The only four-syllable word in that is America, and really it's more America, isn't it? America, two syllables. It's slogans. It's simplicity. And crucially, it's hate. The one thing that you can know about the irreducible Trumpist is they have to hate. They may hate different people. Some hate Mexicans. Some hate other immigrants. Some hate Muslims. Some men hate women. Some people hate gay people or transgender people. Some people just hate Hollywood or hate, I don't know, you name it. Definitely hate blacks. I mean, Trumpism is racism seems obvious. So when the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, flies on Air Force Two at the cost of $30,000 an hour to Indianapolis, specifically to attend a football game where he knows that people will kneel protesting racism, and he's going to walk out and throw a tantrum all huffy because, oh my God, black Americans, how dare they? How dare they hate their mistreatment? How ungrateful of them? Not really logical. But a tantrum nonetheless. He knows there's going to be a group of irreducible Trumpists that feel that hate and feel that emotion and feel good about it. Because, you know, hate doesn't bring jobs, but it does make you feel better. And before you think I'm going all out against the people on the right, let me turn the cannon and talk to some of my friends on the left. Because some of you, some of us, get out there and we protest and we march and we do symbolic things and we don't do them toward a specific end. I can't tell you how many people I know that I see, that I've seen on the left marching for a cause, a good cause, a cause I agree with. I will march with them. I will join their protests. But then I say to them, fantastic. Now, come with me to Congress and let's talk about it with your congressman. Now, start a campaign to elect candidates who agree with you And that's going to cost some money, and you might have to knock on a number of doors and canvas people. Let's get people to join us in the cause. Let's persuade people. Let's find someone to write the legislation. Let's elect people who agree with us. That's too much work. It's boring. It's boring. Protesting is much more fun. You get to march. You get your sign out. You get your solidarity with your fellow Americans. Protesting is kind of a high. And that's okay. As long as it is pushed to a cause, to a specific cause. Otherwise, protesting can be just a tantrum. I'm tired of Americans throwing tantrums all the time. So tired that I went way over my time. So I'm going to take a break now, and we'll come back for a short segment, and then I'll move on. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Just a couple minutes till the next break because I went so long the first time. But we'll have a lot of time after the half hour. To me, the reason I thought of the word tantrum for today, or tantrum, or Trumper tantrum is probably my favorite way of expressing it, but I used that earlier for another segment, is because I was trying to put all these stories together about the president acting like a toddler, about those on the right motivated apparently entirely by hate and anger, and a lot of, it's funny, the people who enjoy white male privilege not admitting that privilege and then getting angry when they see it slipping away into full equality, where you're judged on the merit and not by color of your skin or your privileged class. Talking about those on the left who... some of them have given up. I have a co-host I used to do radio with, Garland Nixon, who spends all his time attacking the Democratic Party. Now, he is funded by the Russians. Vladimir Putin personally, well, not personally, the Russian government funds his show. So I can see why he would be attacking Democrats, but there are people who believe him. The left does not need to be attacking each other. But to me, the ultimate tantrum maholics are the NRA and a certain segment of gun owners that want no restrictions whatsoever on these very dangerous weapons. So we have more guns in the United States than any other country in the world, whether it's numbers or per capita, by far. We also have far more gun deaths, more than 30,000, than any country in the world. But 3% of Americans own half of its guns. And they own an average of 17 guns each. When I come back, I want to talk about the specific tantrum of an insecure gun owner and why, well, it shouldn't be obvious, it's such a danger to all of us. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, back after this.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the tantrum going all across America, by which I mean a kind of unfocused anger that isn't based in logic. You can't be logical and reason with a toddler having a temper tantrum. It's not about reason. I don't know. I guess you could pick up the child and hold it close and hug it and love it and maybe try to distract it. It, they, them, him, her. That might be a good idea. But reason, that's not going to work. You can't reason with someone having a tantrum. And I'm reminded of this when I look at the extremely modest measure that I'm proposing in the Virginia House of Delegates that Senator Dianne Feinstein is proposing in Congress to ban bump stocks. Now, I fully admit I didn't know what a bump stock was 2 weeks ago. Very few Americans did. But I did know there was a mechanism that could convert a semi-automatic military-grade AK-47 or AR-15 or other military weapon used by soldiers to kill as much of the enemy as possible. I knew there was something that could take away the thing that makes it a semi-automatic rather than an automatic gun, otherwise known as a machine gun, which had been banned, frankly, since the 1930s. But I knew that such a mechanism existed, and on the day of the attacks, I specifically said I wanted to ban the thing that converted it. I said that actually before we even knew exactly that this man had used these weapons. And I bring it up because one of the legitimate criticisms, and I've had them, you can go on my website, marklevinetalk.com, and see my discussion of it on television. One of the legitimate criticisms is, Mark, you're changing very little. 30,000 plus Americans, almost 35,000 now, are murdered every year by guns or take their own lives or die in an accident. And your bill would save what? 50? 100? To which I say, I think 50 lives are valuable. When I read about the 59 people murdered in Las Vegas, I think their lives were valuable. When I read about the 500 plus injured, frankly, when I read like today's Washington Post front page story about the mom who got country music tickets by her daughter, and she kept trying to give them away because she was a generous woman, but the daughter said, you know what, you can enjoy something for yourself, and they had a great time at that concert until someone throwing a tantrum with this accessory used the functional equivalent of a machine gun to mow down her mother and about 600 people. It doesn't go far enough. I'll be the first to tell you that. We haven't succeeded with background checks. We haven't succeeded. I had two bills to one bill that keep terrorists from owning guns. You'd think Republicans, the same people who support bombing villages in Yemen and Iraq and Syria, might want to say that we shouldn't arm a terrorist army in the United States, but nope, they're fine with that. Let Osama bin Laden buy thousands of guns in the United States. We're okay with that. Or the next wannabe Osama bin Laden. Death to America and buy guns here. If they go across the border, then we can bomb him. But no, in America, we got to sell him guns. That's the conservative position. No, it's not logical. This isn't about logic. To the gun owner, it's about freedom. Freedom. Liberty. I have a right to kill others. I mean, I have a right to have the right to kill others, specifically. I've got to have at my disposal a weapon that can mow down hundreds of innocent Americans. And if I don't, I'm not free. Now, my Constitution doesn't happen to mention a right to murder or even a right to own weapons of mass destruction. It does say something about a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure a free state, as it was, I suppose, in the 18th century when people uploaded their muskets to protect themselves from the Native Americans who kind of didn't like being pushed off their land where they'd lived for centuries. Frankly, had the more justified moral position than the English. But they wanted to defend themselves, and there was no central government, and so you call together a militia and you regulate it well. And the Constitution makes clear that it is Congress, it's the federal government, as well as the states that regulate the militias. There ain't no such thing as an individual militia. A militia is a collective noun. Sorry, grammarists, but that's what it is. And, the right of the people to keep and bear arms and well-regulated militias in the Constitution, and it has no relevance to this. Nobody was regulating guns. They should. Nobody was regulating this man. The National Rifle Association pretended for half a minute to say that they would endorse a regulation like ones to ban bump stock. But then they say, you know what, we don't want a law to do it because the law allows it. And you can't regulate outside the law, which is why the regulations were there in the first place, and they're out backing off, and it was all a lie, no surprise. But the interesting question is not the NRA playing their typical games. It's understandable why the NRA supports weapons accessories, because that makes money for gun manufacturers, and the gun manufacturers are what funds the NRA, which then turns around and funds Republican politicians, and everyone's happy, and the people that die, the 59 people dead and hundreds injured, don't worry, gun manufacturers, you may have caused their injuries, but you don't have to pay their hospital bills. You don't have to pay their funeral costs. All you Republicans in the Virginia House of Delegates and in nationwide in Congress, all your inaction that caused these people to die, don't worry. We know you don't give a damn about them. You could at least offer to pay their funeral costs. You could say I'm throwing a little tantrum here, except that I think we have every right to require gun manufacturers to pay for the funerals and injuries of the weapons that they so happily sell to anybody, any lunatic, any terrorist, without a background check. But I'm really more focused on the gun owners that don't want to commit mass murder. The majority of them, certainly, but who are so insecure when you tell them, you can't have a machine gun, son, and we're not going to let you have a nuke either. We're not going to let you have a nuclear weapon. I know you want one. I understand. You want a Stinger missile so you can shoot down an airplane, not because you want to shoot down an airplane, but because it would be cool to think you could shoot down an airplane. And you don't want a machine gun to mow down hundreds of innocent people. You just think it would be cool to think that you could do that. Maybe you dream about it. Maybe you play it in your video games. And it's really cool to blow up stuff. Yeah. Does it sound like I'm talking to a 3-year-old? I know you want to touch that hot stove. I know you want to drive, but you're 3. And I don't think you're old enough to drive. What is causing the gun owner's tantrum? Well, the same thing that causes a child to have a tantrum. Or frankly, Donald Trump. Feeling helpless. Feeling insecure. It's not about logic. Logic will never dissuade them. Opinions not arrived at via logic will never be dissuaded by logic. It is entirely emotion. It's people whose lives are out of control, and they want something to control. My wife divorced me. My kids hate me. I lost my job. I'm addicted to opioids. I'm addicted to crack. I see no hope in this country. I'm angry. I feel helpless and hopeless. And oh my God, I can shoot things. Look, I can blow up things. I have power. I don't have power over my finances. I don't have power over my social life. I don't have power over my family. And I don't even have power over my own emotions. But I can blow up stuff. And that feels like power. It is powerful. The power to murder someone is very powerful. You can see why it would be attractive to a lot of people, even if you're just shooting it. And it's fun. Gun owners tell me it's fun. I get it. Fun to shoot stuff down. I actually went for the first time. I never shot a gun in my life. I went to shoot a gun for the first time last year. It was a something that Virginia was doing, and I was either golf or a hike or shoot a gun. And I did the hike the year before, and the only golf I play is where the little windmill comes around and usually hits the ball back at me anyway. So I'm like, all right, I will, for the first time in my life, hold a gun and shoot it. There were 40 targets, and I said, if I hit one, you know, that's a success. And I'm a competitive person. I admit that. I like to win. And to my extreme shock, once I put on glasses, I got 17 of the 40, almost half. Incredible for a newcomer. People said, wow, you're really good. I said, yeah, I never shot before. I said, I guess it's hand-eye coordination from all those video games I played. And they said, so do you think it's really fun? And I'm like, no. Yeah, you pull the trigger and the thing blows up. I mean, hand-eye coordination is fun, but I can do it on my video game. Thank you. I didn't shoot animals, of course. I shot clay. But, all right, it's fun. I get it. And no one's trying to take guns away from hunters or sportsmen. But a machine gun? A machine gun? Really? A semi-automatic, an assault weapon? What made the game fun, to the extent that people enjoyed it, was you got one shot, and boom, or maybe a shotgun, kind of a bunch of pellets. But you get one chance, you hit it, or you don't. I like to say to people who want to hunt with an automatic weapon that if you can't kill a deer in 20 shots, the deer gets a free pass. The deer gets to get away. You're a lousy shot. And if you want to riddle a deer with 100 bullets, you're not going to eat a lot of venison that evening. Now, these are weapons of war, and they're designed for war. And the real question is, why is everybody throwing a tantrum? The gun owners, people on the right, people on the left, our president. Where is this anger getting us? Where is this hate getting us? Why do people feel better just by hating others? I'm pulling up right now the quote. Here it is, by Lyndon Baines Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson once famously said, this is a direct quote, and it is true that he said it, quote, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you. President Lyndon Johnson said this back in 1960. He seemed to understand that people who can't be fed with food and water and jobs and hope and love for their families and health care and marching for a political cause, they can be fed by hate. Now, hate is like crack, right? It's not very filling. It is addictive, and it can keep people pretty busy for a long while. I began this hour talking about Germany. But ultimately, the crack user, like the person addicted to hate, they either have to finish the job and start killing people, or learn to accept what they hate, or they live in a constant state of anger and despair and fear. You know what's the most true about a tantrum? The person throwing the tantrum doesn't enjoy it. It's no way to live a life. It doesn't solve anything. Yes, it can lead to destruction. Yes, it can lead to hate and fear. But most of all, it leads to hopelessness. Hopelessness on the part of the person receiving the tantrum, and hopelessness on the part of the person throwing the tantrum. Because all this anger and hate and outer-directed forces may make you feel better for a little while. It's not my fault. It's your fault. It's not me. It's the damn immigrants. Or the blacks. Or the gays. Or the Jews. Or the women. Or the Muslims. Fill in the blank. It's my parents. It's my kids. It's my neighbor. It's the damn government. Damn it, it's Washington's fault. Hello, who elects Washington? Okay, I know, Electoral College. All right, but you get my point. People need to look inward. The best way to stop a tantrum is to see for yourself whether your anger is actually productive. Are you channeling it to a productive cause? And one that doesn't just help yourself, but helps all those around you. Otherwise, yelling and screaming at each other, it not only solves nothing, it makes things worse. And really, at the end of the day, we don't even enjoy doing it. It's a false drug. It's an addictive high that leads nowhere. All right, I'm ready to take your calls after the break. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levin.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. I will get to my caller, Michael from the Bronx, Old Faithful, in just a second. But first, my producer, Mark Grimaldi, has a three-year-old daughter. And Mark, you said you wanted to share something.
Yeah, so, you know, as soon as you mentioned tantrums, I thought about how, you know, it's just so ingrained in what I deal with now. Unfortunately, you know, we get my daughter later in the night after, you know, she's had a long day at nursery school, dance, things like that. And naturally, toddlers get tired and, you know, they don't know how to manage that. And tantrums often happen when you ask them to do things they don't want to. So, you know, doing potty training, you know, we're trying to teach my daughter to do everything, you know.
Right.
She's, I don't want to wipe, Daddy, you wipe, you know. And as soon as you do it once, then every day for like a week, she doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, you know, my wife had kind of had it and, you know, basically said, no, you have to do it. And, you know, my daughter, she's got her pants around her ankles. She's kicking, you know, freaking out.
Oh, my God.
She whacks my wife on the arm, like, really hard.
I can see Donald Trump doing that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, she's kicking and screaming. My wife had to, we had to read about, like, what to do about this, even though it only happens every once in a while. They say put the child in a safe place. They can't hurt themselves, so mm-hmm. she put her on the soft carpet, and you walk away and leave the room. And it was the most effective thing. As soon as the attention that we were giving was removed, she completely calmed down. We went in the bathroom, and she was like a different person. She seemed exhausted and remorseful from it, and then mm-hmm. faced the exact same problem she was before, but then did it after she realized that the tantrum got her nowhere, which was pretty impressive for a three-year-old to learn in that span of time.
So all we have to do is impeach Donald Trump, put him in a padded room, and ignore him.
And that is the moral
daughter,
of the story.
I have no doubt that your daughter with her wonderful parents will grow out of it. I can't say the same about,
you're too kind,
about
Mark.
Our president.
I agree.
Let me go, because Old Faithful's been holding on a long time, and I want to give him a few words before we close out. Michael from the Bronx, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mark and everybody. You know, something comes to the temper tantrum and pampering of a baby. Well, first off, Trump is a big baby. And if anybody thinks that I'm going to pick this big baby up and pamper him and throw my back out.
He didn't get enough love as a child, Michael, and we all have to suffer for it.
Yeah, And then the people that have been following him verbatim and been engaging in violence and hate because of his encouragement and his words that said, in which he said, and don't worry about your legal woes. I'll take care of all your legal troubles. Don't believe it for a moment. You guys know the law. You know what you cannot do. Don't engage in any wrongdoing just because he says so, because he ain't going to back you out. If you don't believe that, then you look at the one, two, or three individuals from Charlottesville that engage in attacking those protesters. They're facing state charges right now, and they're going to have to pay
well,
the piper.
Well, it's up to all of us
out of there.
As Americans, as we the people, to be as good parents as Mark and Gina Grimaldi, and to basically not tolerate our president's Trumper tantrums. And some in the Republican Party, like Bob Corker, are starting to do that. And they're all talking about it behind the scenes. The question is, will they have the courage to tell him no? This is Mark Levin. Tune in next time for the Inside Scoop.